Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Good to see you. Has been your week? Mark chapter 4. All right, so we're looking at guarding your heart. Our main text has been Mark, or rather, that the title of that of our particular series is actually Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Let's just look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. That's where we got the text from. It says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Notice, keep. So it's an instruction that implies a personal responsibility. It says your heart was given you as a center or the control center of your life. Your heart was given you, designed by God, to be the governing council of your life. So now it says, keep your heart. So if you're reading from verse 20, what has it been saying since? My son, you have to consciously pay attention to my words. Now, as plain as that instruction is, it's amazing the kind of harvest we see in our lives that makes us question whether God's word is true or not. But where you ought to go to, first of all, when you don't like a particular harvest, is not to query the seed. It's not to query the one who gave the seed. It's to query whether the seed ever got to the ground and the state of the heart. Let me say it again. My son, attend to my words. That means it's not something you come across casually. It's not just going to come across your path. Because God's word does not appeal naturally to the mind. Nope, it does not. So he's giving instructions that show there's a personal responsibility expected of you. Then Jesus did something phenomenal. If you go with me to Mark chapter 4, go to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start reading from verse 3. Let's just start from the beginning. Or let's read from verse 13. Because then Jesus said something phenomenal. He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" All right, so he says, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables?" In other words, this parable explains so many things about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God simply means how the system of God operates. In other words, if you understand this parable, it will demystify many spiritual realities for you. So when he told them, "You don't understand this parable I just told," and he gave a parable, what was the parable about? Look at verse 3. "Hearken, the sower went out to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where he had not much earth, and immediately he sprang up, because he had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because he had no roots, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be what? Forgiven them." So we understand that basically this is a parable that explains how salvation takes place. The sower sows the word. Then Jesus used horticulture to explain the state of the ground where the word is sown. And it brings forth something important. The integrity of the seed remains the same, but the ground that the seed is sowed upon varies. So there's the wayside, there's stony ground, there's among thorns, and then there's what he calls good ground. Then you notice that when he mentions good ground, he speaks about variation in the yield or the harvest. Do you notice that? So Jesus now says something. You don't understand this parable. In other words, I'm not teaching horticulture. I'm only using what you understand naturally to explain what spiritual reality. That's what a parable is. You take something that they know to explain something that is not easily
or obvious to the senses. So that's what he was doing. He now says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand other parables? What is he saying? The integrity of God remains the same towards man. Man will have experiences that contradict the integrity of God. And if man does not understand that the integrity of God remains the same, he's likely to turn around to blame God, even though God remains the same. See, God remains the same. In 1 John chapter 1, just write it somewhere, and verse 5. John says, God is light, and in him is no what? Darkness at all. God is light. That means God is a one-link God. He doesn't have a dual personality. He's not schizophrenic. He doesn't have multiple personality disorder. He's not angry today and cool tomorrow. He's a one-line God. He's only good. He doesn't know how else to do anybody to be good. Hallelujah. Now, the sower sowed the word is a parable that explains that integrity so that when men perceive God's goodness, they will see that if there's any variation with respect to results or experiences, it cannot come from the source because the seed is the same. Now, last week we saw that seed described by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 as the incorruptible seed of what? Of God's word that lives and what? Abides forever. Hallelujah. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 4. He says, in seeing, they are not seeing, they won't perceive, and in hearing, they won't even understand, lest they are converted, and their sin should be what? Forgiving them. So you can put it this way. The sower soweth the word. The gospel is going forth. Some people actually think God predestinates those that will receive the gospel. That's not true. No, the sower soweth the word. But the sower is not responsible for the condition of the ground. Hallelujah. That's the responsibility of the individual. So the sower will sow the word. When is the word sown? It is not when the individual or when the person preaches. Because to sow means to preach. But when the sowing actually takes place, it's simply broadcasting. It's broadcasting. There is no guarantee the seed that was broadcasted will enter the ground. How many of you agree with that? Good. So, Jesus is using a natural illustration to explain spiritual truth. And he's saying, as the word is going forth, that word is the gospel. God wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. How does he go about doing it? He sends his word. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sends his word. What is the word meant to accomplish? If you are following Psalm 107 verse 20, it's meant to heal them at what? Deliver them from their destruction. Question, is it everyone that is healed and delivered? No. So he says the sower sows the word. And some fell on. So our focus should be, where did the seed fall? Because where the seed fell determines the harvest. As simple as this truth is, Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand other parables? In other words, if you plug this parable into Genesis chapter 3, you know what happened. If you plug it in chapter 2, you know what happened with Adam. Because the sower sowed the word. The word that was sown in Genesis 2 is eat of the tree of life. But the heart that received that word had a choice whether to understand and act on it or not. So if you don't understand this parable, when it comes to the kingdom of God, do you think you will understand any other thing? Because it says that if they see and they understand, they will be converted. And their sins will be forgiven. Listen carefully. He didn't say God will forgive. The forgiveness is in the seed that was sown. So the person who hears the word and understands it is converted and receives what the seed offers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, let me say this and take a step back. Years ago, I discovered that if a man will meditate on God's word, and when I say God's word, any part of God's word, healing is there. I didn't say healing scriptures. Healing scriptures are good. They can help your mind. He sent his word. He didn't say he sent his word of healing. If the word you heard is go and drink water, healing is in that word. If the word you heard is dance, and you process and you understood, everything that God says, because healing is the reversal of the afflictions that the enemy may have put or to undo every burdens. Is recovery of the body from a disease condition. That's what healing is. So, that particular signature of God is present in the entirety of his word. It's one of the strongest ways God tells people that he is a savior and is always saving. So, when you hear the sower went forth to sow, number one is one sower, same seed, different hearts. So, it begins to tell you that when you see a variation, the variation doesn't come from source. So all the apostles testify to the same reality. Because again, there is a tendency for man to say based on experience, not based on the reality of the word of God. Look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. Glory to God. Are you with me this morning? My brethren, count it all joy when. Say when. Say not if. So you won't like that one. So it's a matter of time. If you are here, in this climb, in this earth. It's not a promise. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. When? So when it happens. So it's not denying the fact. It's assuring you of a greater reality. God's word does not deny facts. Faith doesn't deny facts. Faith assures you of a greater reality. It says when you fall, so it's a matter of time, something will happen. It now predisposes your heart to how to respond. It says, when you fall into diverse temptations, what should you do? It says you have to what? Count it as an opportunity to what? Rejoice. Why? Because you can't count it as sorrow at the end of the road. And there's a reason why James starts this way, because he wants to unveil to you and I God's character, irrespective of situation and circumstances. Hallelujah. The same James now says, in verse 13, look at verse 13. I can't go through the whole book of James, so I won't go off. Let no man say when he's facing difficulties, God is responsible. Because God cannot be responsible for evil. Neither does he bring evil any man's way. I'm giving you contemporary English now. God is not responsible. So he says, don't hear, don't be misled. Every good gift, and what? Every perfect gift. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? From the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness in that word, shadow of turning. Let me explain. When I'm faithful, God is faithful. When I'm not faithful, God is faithful. When I'm good, God is good. When I'm not good, God remains good. My not being good can't stop him from being good. His being good when I'm not good makes me better. Did he know the state of the ground? Yes. Did he still cast seed? Yes. Because he doesn't find fault. God is an equal opportunity God. He still casts seed. Did he know it's by the wayside? Yes. But everybody has an equal opportunity. Then you are the one who is responsible for what you do with your heart. My son, attend to my word. If the seed is the same, listen carefully, it means the result that the seed carries is available to everyone who receives the seed and processes the seed. So you don't have, so to speak, more access to the word. You may process the word more than I do, but you don't have more access. Because the sower sowed what? The word. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring many passages of scripture to illustrate because it's important that you understand what God is trying to say. So when the sower is sowing the word, it's irrespective of the person. The integrity of the word is enough. What the word says is what the word will do. So if they understand and they are converted, they will receive forgiveness of sins or whatever the word has promised, it will become fulfilled where? In their life. So Solomon, who is a preacher, now tells you that this is God's instruction. My son, attend to my words. How? You incline your ear to my sayings. That means it is wisdom, besides reading God's word, to allow God's word to play so that as you are seeing, you're also what? Hearing. Now, whether you like it or not, on a daily basis, even if you stay in your house, you are hearing something. And you are seeing something. I mean, even a problem. Except you live in the forest. And you hear the sound of the birds. At least. So you cannot be isolated from life, in quote. So things are coming your way every day. And they are all doing one thing. They are seeking access to the control center. That's your heart. Now, whatever you hear repeatedly. You know, I was away from the office this week for a while. Just to relax a bit. And when I went to the restaurant where they were, a song was playing, and there's a recognition system on my inside. I've heard this song before. The song you've heard before, you know it will stick faster. I mean, you know. It will stick faster. Now, like I said last week, when the song plays, and it's not a good song, and let me tell you something, your heart does not recognize good or bad song. It's your renewed mind that tells you, this song is not good for us. I mean, how many times have you heard this song that when you sat down, your feet was moving? Child of God. You know what I'm talking about. It was already moving. Before you analyze whether, in other words, your heart responds to melody. Yes or no? So the melody may be nice. but the words are not nice. Yes or no? So you are careful. And that's what the enemy does. He uses good melody to pass across his message. So because you love many so much, you may, so to speak, forget to pay attention to what is being said, and the power is in what is being said. Because what will program your mind is not the melody. The melody is the introduction. And when you are introduced and you are singing, because the word seems to rhyme with the melody, you want to sing the words also, even though the words are wrong. I mean, even though conclude. You know, some years ago, they released a song. I can't sing that song. My mouth is sanctified. You know? But this gist of that song is, a young man who keeps, and it became an anthem among the youth. At the barber shop, I kept hearing it. At the gym, I heard it. Somebody was like, I like women too much. I cannot control myself. And a boy of 15 is singing that every day. By 21, your life is in tatters. Because you put in the control center of your life. It wasn't true before. You made it true. I don't know if you understand. You just think lyrics are just, they are not. They're not casual. Music carries spirits. You don't see anywhere where demons are worshipped and music is not being played. There's a reason. And not just music or melody. Words have to be chanted. No wonder if you are really singing a true worship song, there will also be words also that will do something to your comprehension of God or limit your comprehension of God. It's a fact. It will do something to your comprehension of God by raising your awareness or limit your consciousness and make you feel like you are helpless. You know, I had a friend who said that every time they used to sing the song, the day he had lights, I've made you too small in my eyes. Said that they have made you too small in their eyes. Forgive them. I did not. Don't join the general. You know what I'm saying? Once you generalize now, you say, but it's just a song. It doesn't matter. Song registers on your heart faster than ordinary words where there's no melody. So that means you take words, you have melody, the heart will respond. Now, what I just said now, start checking the songs on your phone. What is inside? That's the question. Because the control center is the heart. My son, attend to my words. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. He said, don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them midst. Now, to keep them means that you anchor. You are the one that's responsible. The sower are sown. When does sowing take place? When you hear. Not when seed is broadcasted. So the hearing is the sowing. Now the question is this. Once it is sown, that's not the end of the process. Something has to be done to the seed by the heart to cause understanding to come. So he says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. He says, don't let them depart from your eyes. Those are step-by-step instructions concerning how understanding comes. You attend. How do you attend? You incline your ear. What does you do? Don't let them depart from your eyes. What does you do? Then you can keep them where? In the midst of your heart. What will happen for their life? Unto those who, the word find is what discover. So, you heard what I heard last Sunday. I also heard what you heard last Sunday. Not everybody found life in it. There's a process by which life is found. Not everybody did. That finding life is something that's understanding. I think it's Jeremiah 15:16 that says that your words were found and I heard them. And it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Hallelujah. That's what it is. Hallelujah. We have about 3 months to the end of the year. So we have about 90 days. Now, everything you didn't get from January to now can still be programmed as an experience so that Christmas can even be Christmas. If you know that God is no respecter of persons. When he sends his word, every heart that receives and processes, the life inside the word will find expression. It will. It will. That's why Jesus said that if you don't understand this parable, you'll be among those who are saying God is not faithful. You'll be among those who will say, God is the one tempting me. God is the one testing me. You know, it's very interesting. The minute light is absent, the entrance of the word gives light and gives what? Understanding. The minute, believers are saying that God is taking them through a trying season. I don't understand. That conclusion already shows that the word is not in your heart. Because he just told you that the sower sows the word. Look at Acts chapter 10. See a particular example. Acts chapter 10, And I read from verse 32, Acts 10. Are you there? Okay, so send therefore to Joppa and call it that Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, shall what? He will speak. When he comes, what will he do? Peter will speak. Who is Peter? Peter is a sower. Peter is a sent one. Peter is a messenger. When he comes, what will he do? He will speak. What will he speak? He will sow or cast the seed. The power is in the seed. The seed will work. Even when the sower is not interested in the harvest, the seed will work. Because the seed is the incorruptible, indestructible, unfailing word of God. It lives and the word abides forever. But there's a problem. The problem is that the seed does not work in a vacuum. The seed needs an environment to find expression. Whatever the seed contains, whatever the DNA of the seed, is designed to express itself in the heart of a man. Hallelujah. Why is God always speaking? Looking for hearts to connect with. Because when it connects with the heart, all God has said simply finds expression. So you can see the word, you can hear the word. If you are seeing the word, you only see by revelation in your heart. But all the word contains, so to speak, will only find expression when it gets into that unseen part of man that's called the heart. Remember last week we said, the word heart and the word spirit are not the same. How many of us agree with that? Okay, so when we say heart now, we're talking about your will, intellect, and what? Emotions. So there's a processing that takes place there that allows salvation to occur, which is when you believe by understanding. Now, it now says, you send men to Joppa. This is Cornelius explained to Peter why he sent for Peter. And look at what happened next. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and you have well done, or you have done well that you came. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Look at the next verse. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive. Notice first thing, God is no respect our persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee, and after the baptism which John preached. Jump all the way to verse 42 because of time. I just want to show you one or two things. See what it says. Verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto people and to testify that it is he who was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Notice, whosoever believeth. How will you believe the word is preached? When the word is preached, you will hear. When you hear, you will understand. When you understand, you will believe. What happens when a man has believed? You will receive. Let me say though, is your believing going to make forgiveness available? Or forgiveness is available and you are meant to believe? Yes, sir. Which is which? So, that means that listen carefully, when the word is preached and you hear, the word is sown. When the word is sown and you keep attending to what is sown, you're constantly attending to what is sown is you are knocking on the door of understanding. Then something happens. When you understand and you believe, you receive all that the word offers. Solomon says, they are life unto those that find. The finding is a product of understanding. So when I understand, I find. When I find, what happens? Experiences show up in my life that line up with all that the word represents. Hallelujah. Can I see the process? But look at what it says here. See what it says. Through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Verse 44. When Peter yet speak this word, the Holy Ghost fell on how many people? What is particular to all of them? They heard. The Holy Ghost fell is a description of an activity that took place inside, was seen on the outside, to prove that when they heard, they understood. The word heard there in the Greek, the word akonis, is to hear with intention of paying attention and to understand. So it says the Holy Ghost fell, that is, there was an external manifestation in every single one who heard and understood what was said. In other words, there's a response from the heart that can actually accept or reject. Is of the heart. The heart can accept or what reject what is spoken. So Peter spoke. He started by saying, God is no respecter of persons. God has is a one-lane God. He wants every man saved. But not everyone will be saved because of the reaction or the response of the heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, God wants me blessed in all areas of life. Now, are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? Now, you began your journey The sower has sown the word. But the principle remains the same. Every other thing God wants to do in your life, experiences with supernatural, continues by hearing. Now, you are born again. You have received forgiveness of sins. But when it comes to your walk with God and having experiences with the life of God, you have heard and you have to keep hearing. It is your continuous hearing that allows everything God has said to now begin to show up in different areas of your life. Why? There's a persuasion that guarantees boldness and that guarantees reception. There's a persuasion that has to be consistent and ongoing. Remember we saw last week, Philemon verse 6 says that the communication of your faith may become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of how many things? Every good thing. Which is where? Which is where? In Christ Jesus. So, we said last week that God's word mirrors back to you all the realities that are yours in the spirit. So, as I focus on the word of God in this area, because let me say it again, in the world you'll have tribulation, Jesus said so. John 16:33. But in me you'll have peace. Be of good cheer. I've what? Overcome the world. So, challenges will come. They are meant to come. But what does an overcomer do? The sower sows the word. You take the word that was preached. You sow it in your heart. You pay attention. Understanding comes. Light dawns. You find the life. Then out of your heart will now come the boundaries, which is the experiences that are meant to happen. That's why let me say it this way again. If somebody stands before you and pronounces a curse, laugh. But don't laugh if you're afraid. Have you noticed that fear is transmitted also by words? I watch a skit during the week. And they will catch those guys soon. Because people sometimes experience bodily harm in their rush to run away. You just want to play, say, they are coming, oh. You've seen those ones, you've seen them. And people just stop reasoning. Okay, who is coming? You need to stop to ask. You know, Nigerians, you'll be asking when you're in front. You know what I'm talking about? He's on motion, he's asking. So, who is, and he's running. So, and that's when he's be asking. He doesn't wait to find out who is. So, you don't just come and say, they are coming, no, he runs. And then everybody, some people were eating, they threw the food away. And it's meant to be a prank. Now, it wasn't real. It became real because they accepted it. Do you understand what I just said? It became real because they accepted it as real. That means, listen, what was not real became real. Because somebody said it is, and some people, without questioning the validity, embraced it. Guess what? Their bodies acted in line with information. Nobody said, who is coming? They just said, they are coming, though. Some people even did some things that didn't make any sense. They said, they are coming. You went to go like that in the gutter. That means that the reasoning just stops. Say, they won't find you there. So I'm just saying, they are coming. You lay down under the chair in plain view. And they say they are coming. You know what that means? Fear are so taking hold that you're no longer reasoning straight. You're not thinking straight. All you heard is they are coming. So, the same now. Was that true? It wasn't true. It was a prank. Yet, people heard it and it entered and they acted on what was false and it became their reality. And somebody told them, guess what? If you go near them, they had to be populated. By the time you tell them, it's not true. It still takes time for the heart to... Have you noticed that? That tells you that the heart does not discriminate whether the information is true or not. Okay, here's where I'm going. Why don't you brainwash yourself with realities? I'm very wealthy. I'm rich. I have millions in my account. Some of you are looking at me like, I know what's in my account. We know you know. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly. You have a responsibility. If it's God's ability you are trusting in, have access to supernatural funds. I'm never in lack. All my needs are met supernaturally, according to his riches in glory. Before any need arises, supplies are waiting for me. I always have help. Why don't you bring what? Now, question. Why do you find it difficult to be persuaded of that reality? And you are easily persuaded of, they are coming, oh. Someone says, why? It's what you have given your attention to more. If I tell you now, God said, before December, everyone needs to be a millionaire. You see, I have some people saying, I didn't shake my head. If I was shaking, I fall to the drama. That's how they fool people outside. They are up in one leg, wearing white robe. son of man, thus saith the Lord. I'm shaking like this. The drama is his own. He may be speaking for God, but that drama is to get your attention. Or somebody who's not doing drama. If I say, thus saith the Lord, I can say, thus saith because the word of God says so. And his work cannot fall to the ground. What am I doing? I'm casting seed. It's meant to be sown. When it is sown is when you hear. When you understand is your responsibility. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are a young man, young woman. I'm going to excel in my academics. I'm coming out with the best grade. Even when things look bleak, it doesn't matter. It's the incorruptible seed of God's word. It has not been known to fail. If he enters the heart, it will produce what he has said. It will produce it. It will produce what he has said. The question is that, are you bold enough to stay with it, to declare it, until, because it says that they are life unto those that find. So there's a finding. That means there's a process. It says, don't let them depart from your eyes. And I've seen people practicalize this in different ways. Because until you allow the word to be a picture and an image on the inside, on the outside, you are not about to see any change. It's on the inside first, then on the outside. It's on the inside first, then where? On the outside. So on the inside first, that's where a transformation takes place. Until you are living and walking, what you have believed, everybody can see. The time comes when the persuasion is so strong, even when the outside doesn't look like it, you are so persuaded, you are living the reality of it. I'll give you a carnal example. It's carnal because it wasn't spiritual. I had issues with my car years back. The car I used to use was a two-door car. Pastor Lou knows that car. That car has been to places. It will not come back to me this lifetime. If he has a choice, yes, because that car went to Abuja and got there in 7 hours. If you know where Abuja is, how far it is, you don't want to think about how I moved. I mean, the police stopped me on the way. Instead of them asking for papers, they asked, the first question they asked was that, so where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from Lagos. The guy that just says he's gone. He put the gun down. He said, when did you leave Lagos? I said, 6 a.m. He looked at the time. It was past 12. He said, oh, guy, where? How much are they selling this car? He forgot about papers. He kept looking at the car. This car. You left Lagos this morning, 6 a.m. And that made matters worse because it was raining fuel. As I said, I even stopped by to buy fuel. I was looking for fuel about 30 minutes. You stopped by that. You're looking for in this car. Now, so the car had issues and it was okay. So I was believing God, trusting God. And so I began to stand on God's word and began to confess and began to declare. And something happened. I began to confess as though the car was already in my possession. Listen carefully. What was I doing? I was programming my heart. I needed to program. You can program your heart for miracles. You can. You know, I do the same thing when I go for meetings. I see healings because I see healings before I go for the meeting. I'm not talking about just visions. I'm talking about using God's word to paint pictures. Because God is willing all the time. God doesn't have Monday, Tuesday, but when he does miracles. He does miracles all the time, whenever men are ready. He spoke to you about the state of the heart. So there's a picture that your heart needs to have that gives you what? Boldness. And I practiced this over the years. So I began to confess. I mean, I'm in a car that doesn't have AC and I'm sweating profusely. And I'm seeing, you know, dashboard of a new car. I'm seeing AC blow on me even though I'm sweating. That means the time comes when your heart denies what your senses are picking up. When the word becomes real on the inside, then something happened also. On the outside, confirmations began to come. A daughter of mine who was in school back then, I'm talking about 2009 or so. You know, just called me out of the blue. I didn't call me for a long time. Just said that, sir, have you bought your car? We have never discussed car before. I said, no. He said, because I see you with a new car. I just thanked her. I went to Redemption Camp for a retreat the same year, some months after. I picked up some women by the gate, older women, about 3 of them. I just said, let me just help them into the premises. And so when we got to where they were going, well, where I was meant to turn off wasn't where they were going. So I just took them as far as where they were going, planning to turn back. As we were stepping out of the vehicle, every single one of them said, sir, when you're coming back next time, it will be with a new car. That's when what is in your heart has entered the environment. Everybody is seeing what you are seeing now. You didn't discuss with them. They will say, I don't even understand. They will be saying it. Where you find it, it is life. You are so persuaded, evidence around you does not move you at all. I mean, you understand what I say? If evidence is still moving you, you have not found it. When you find it, it conditions your life. No murmuring can come to your lips. It's like, though it's already done. Listen carefully. When I got the car, and God is my witness, not a dime of my personal money was involved. That wasn't part of my confession. I just wanted a car. But that was how God processed it. When I got the car, I couldn't summon greater excitement than the one that had already rejoiced. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I had been driving in that car before the car came. In fact, I drove in that car so much I saw vision of the car before it came. That means your heart can be that conditions to receive the fullness of what God wants. It can be. You are a single lady. All you see on social media are breakups. Marriage is failing. Divorce rate going up. Statistics say that in Abuja during COVID, the number of divorce cases that took place during lockdown, because obviously people did not know, they didn't know each other until they were asked to stay at home together. Well, you don't know what happened. When they stayed at home together, then they discovered they were strangers. It was because they were going to work that things were working. Okay, oh, you didn't know. Okay. Oh, you didn't know. You didn't hear about it. Statistics, it happened more in Abuja than Lagos. It happened on the country. They mean they put them together. 3 months, 2 months, 4 months, five started. They were strangers. They didn't know. They were never really friends. So, and today you keep hearing celebrity marriage is crashing, isn't it? Now, if you're not careful, it will program your heart. And you show off what you start saying unconsciously. No relationship working, no. Only God can help us. Marriage is itself. In fact, it's as though the word is coming to you. Start saying rubbish. Is that what you desire? What is your desire? When you pray, believe that you want, receive them. Is that what you desire? No. So why are you saying the things that the world is saying? That's the question. You're a single lady. What do you want? A good marriage, a good home. So what are you meant to program in? The right man will come my path. Will come my way. You know, I told a lady was in a relationship, and the father told me, I said that, I've said everything I want to say. I don't want to have a relationship with that man. I said, told him. I said, sir, when a woman is emotionally involved, she doesn't listen. You are just speaking logically because you are logical. You are not involved in a relationship, so you don't know what's going on. So everything you are saying is entering here, is going out here. All she can hear is, I love him. That one you are saying, you are just here. So pastor, talk to her. I said, I cannot talk to her. So why is it you will not listen? I know how this thing works. So I gave her a few tips here and there. And I cornered her. I said that, go and pray this particular way. Oh my goodness. If you want to know the will of God concerning anything, take time to pray in the spirit. What you are not meant to be in, it will break. When she finished praying, there was a young pepper scatter scatter. Interpret it. It's a Greek word. If you understand Greek, it's a Greek word. After she prayed, everything unraveled. There's something supernatural happened because she prayed in the spirit. She was meant to be hot for a long time when it didn't feel. Supernaturally, God touched her heart and removed the pain. She felt no pain. She was even trying to find her pastor. It's like, I'm not feeling. I said, don't look for it. It's gone. It's gone. And God brought something far better. He that should come, now came. You know what I'm talking about? Now came. Yes, the better now came. So there was a process, which is, because it's supernatural, when it works on that. Once a heart can be emotional about a reality, it will conceive it. It will conceive it. So when it says, my son, attend to my words, you can say to it, get emotional about God's word. In other words, let it work on emotions. Let it create pictures and images. This is what I want to see in my immediate future. I can see, I had a friend, well, I still have him as a friend, so it's not that I had a friend. And he spoke about the relationship he was in and how the relationship broke up. And people that are spiritual, when they speak, you think they are crazy. So I was in a relationship with this lady. He says, so why did you break up? He said, I looked 10 years ahead and I couldn't see her there. So I called it off now. How many of you can do that? So I looked 10 years ahead, I couldn't see her. I prayed, I checked. The image did not form. You can't see her in your living room. You can't even see living room. You can't see yourself together in the same house, talk less of. You can, I hope you understand. You cannot, you should not proceed. You should not even proceed. You can't see anything as in, this is very bleak. You can't see anything. That's a sign that you should retrace yourselves and step back. Something is wrong somewhere. That's what it means. And along the line, something will not click. That's what it means. Because your heart is more sensitive than you think. So if you process your heart with God's word, which is the incorruptible seed, it will condition your heart when it comes to choices you make even in relationship also. Much less choices when it comes to job or career on end. It will just condition. That's why it's not about I'm believing God for healing, I'm using God's word. That's one area. If it's God's word you're using, the results you will get will be more than healing. It affects other areas also. It's healing you wanted, but God's word is multifaceted. It will cover other areas. Hallelujah. It will. Pastor Lee was sharing something this morning. If you are someone who is given to anger, anger lies in the bosom of a fool. Meditate. Am I a fool? Am I a fool? Am I a fool? Answer the question. Am I a fool? Yes, sir. I'm not a fool. I'm not a fool. I'm not angry. I'm gentle. I'm filled with goodness. In other words, there's a way you react that is violent in situations. You can meditate until you see yourself reacting differently. Even your children say, mommy has changed you. It's not you. Mommy doesn't raise her voice again every time. What is happening? It is who you already are, but now there's a persuasion in your consciousness. There's a way you get angry when certain questions are posed in your direction. I mean, even though there's some things I just get now. Stop excusing it away. Saying things like, that's how we are in my, which family? In my family, we get very angry over, which family is that exactly? Which family? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. I'm born of God. I carry my father's DNA. I'm kind like my father. I'm good like my father. I'm temperate like my father. You can't say I'm angry like my, which father is that one? He's not the father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No. You can't say I'm angry like you. Who told you? Does he get angry? No. He doesn't get angry. So you can use God's word until your emotional persuasion even changes. It can. But if you're feeding on sanguine and choleric and melancholic, which one is the other one? You are phlegmatic. Every time I hear that word, I always think about phlegm. When it's young. And that's what you are feeding on. And you are conditioning your emotions. That some people even go far. You are looking at horoscope. You. Horoscope. You that are born of incorruptible seed. Horoscope. Horoscope. They just tell you, if you are born so and so period, you are scorpion. You are Aries. You even claim it. I am Aries. My issue is that I wish you would claim God's word like that. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. I'm victorious. I'm prosperous. I wish you would just own God's word. Like the way they own those things, they put you on their profile. I'm phlegmatic choleric. I'm Aries. And they don't know what they're talking about. But God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. A thought of peace and of evil to give you a hope and a future. That's my thought towards you. And my thought is in my word. So when I give you my word, I'm giving you my thoughts. And when I give you my thoughts, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring you into the expected end. Who determines the expected end? My word is programmed in my word. The expected end is in my word. The DNA of the expected end, the harvest, is in the word. So whatever my word will produce, it will always be good. That's what he's saying. So I gave you my word to show you what I want to do. And the outcome I want you to have is in my word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus said the responsibility for the outcome is not based on the seed. The seed carries the DNA, but the heart that receives the seed will determine the kind of harvest that will come forth. So, since the seed is unbiased, since God is impartial, I can program my heart in such a way I think only prosperity. Listen carefully. God kept 3 million people alive for 40 years, consistently doing miracles. His arm is not short that he cannot save. Your house rent doesn't shake God. It's not your house rent doesn't, you know, like God is intimidated. Like the amount is very much. God, it's like they said the house rent from is now 700. Oh, what will we do? And God looking at you. What did you just say? What will we do? No, you see, what will I do? Not what will we do? Because you are the one who thinks that 700 and 300 dead, there's a difference. 303 million, no difference. As far as God is concerned, he's a God of abundance. He does things always in excess and surplus. That's the way God thinks. God has never taught lack before. Listen carefully. In the miracle that Jesus performed before God's particularly John chapter 6, when he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and then 5,000 men, they didn't count women and children. You should know why they didn't count them. So when he said 5,000, let's understate what is going on. When we had women and children, there are 20,000. Automatically. We go women go to crusade more than men. How many of you know? Yes. So how many children did they have to do this? You didn't have family planning. So in each household, if you don't have child at all, you have 3. If you have children, maybe 7. Women these days, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. These days, I'm still looking for a child of God in this assembly. Give us 7 children. Who will come 7 times to come and do naming ceremony. Be bold. We'll support you. The way you are limiting yourself, are you limiting God? The way people are laughing. They don't want to say that, Pastor, in Nigeria's economy. Where was I now? Thank you. All right. So there are 5,000 people. If you had women and children, maybe 20,000. And then, why would you do a miracle? It's a miracle that 5 loaves and 2 fishes will feed that number of people. But when you did it, they still collected 12 baskets to show you it was not coincidental. And when I do and I provide, it's in excess. It's more than enough. It's not the 700,000. I don't know why I mentioned 700,000. Somebody's asking 700,000. That's not the problem with God. It is that you are the one who said, God, if you cannot do the 700,000 for me, you limited God. You said 700,000. He didn't say 700,000. You, in your mind, you cannot see beyond 700,000. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to put his word in your heart until you can see more than 700,000. The issue is not God doing. It is, can you see more than 700,000? What are you doing? You are programming your heart for increase. So a lot of times, the limitation with your prayer is how far can you see? It's never about God. God's ability is surplus. He has shown us in different scriptures that he can do exceedingly abundantly above. That's what God does. So, but the measuring or the calibrated mind is what determines how much of that abundance is received. God doesn't have a control over that. What encourages that is how much of God's word you are worth. That's why learn to listen to testimonies that encourage your faith along the area of supplies and protection and healing and health. Learn to receive so that you can. The day I had a testimony of Jesse Duplantis, when the word of God, I said, the word of God that came to me is the word of God that also came to us in 2013 that caused us to move. It's the same kind of word that came. He didn't ask us how much is in your account. We have never paid more than 350, 400 for rent before. And when we moved there, we had to pay 4.5 million. No savings. How did we pay? A word came. How did the word come? The Spirit of God said, there are waters in God's reservoir. There are waters. Waters of increase. Waters of abundance. There are waters. He kept coming. And we didn't borrow money. And we got here. You don't know what it means to start paying 400 to move 4.5. You know it doesn't make any sense. And it happened in 3 months. Less than 3 months. Because a word came. That means the word first did something. It did something to the art. I was bold because she is God that said so. You know that kind of thing when you're like, if you are the one who said so now, you may not be able to bring it to pass. But if God said so, the same thing also. God spoke to him. Go send your lawyer to go offer them. And God mentioned the particular amount. Let's say it's $362,000 for a property that was worth over $3.5 million. Say, go and send your lawyer to go and offer them. Even just basically, number one, they didn't say they are selling. They go and tell them, lawyer went to go and offer. God will force X, do something to your mind, your thinking. You don't know what God knows. And you are not seeing what God is seeing. So your best bet is to follow instructions. I mean, even if I'm talking about. So the lawyer went and offered them. They laughed at the lawyer. Said, go and tell your client that he's not serious. This property, at the very least, is worth $3 million. We're not interested. Except when you have a better offer, come back. When went back, he told Jesse, you know he's a lawyer, so he's like, please, don't ridicule us. I told you before I went that this doesn't make any sense. Say, so go and pray, and whatever God says. Say, God says, we should offer them $362,000. Say, go back and tell the person. They went back again. He said, okay, because the man of God is a ministry, we'll take 2.5 million. He said, God said, we should offer you Jesus. First time, second time, third time. 2 weeks after, this happened over a period of 2 months. They stopped going there. Because they kept like, are you serious? You're not really serious. And then something happened. They were the ones who called them. What did your client say they are ready to offer? He said he's ready to give you. You know, that became a mantra. $300,600. Can they make it 1 million? We are prepared to offer you $300,600. He said, we're not interested. How can you say, we are even trying with you, sir? We are prepared to offer you $300,600. We walked away. 2 weeks after, they called them. Call your client, we're ready to collect the money. The news came to him that the property was about to be foreclosed by the government. Because under a particular law in the U.S., it was certain operations were not meant to be doing there. So the only way they could escape losing and everything invested was to sell it away at whatever price they could, otherwise they would have. And God knew. Oh, you didn't hear me. God knew. God said that God spoke to him and said, buy so and so land. His own thinking was that, praise God. The church in Port Harcourt will soon start. 1 year, 2 years. God didn't mention build church. He asked God, God didn't say anything. In the third year, he said, let them go and prospect on the land. They found oil. Where the material resources are, where the oil is, God knows everything. He sees everything. When he gives you his word, process it. It will change your life. I'm giving practical examples that this is even spoken word, isn't it? Now, the written word is eternal. Its integrity cannot fail. Dr. Tony Mokari mentioned a particular testimony. He said the first time he got 10 billion, God told him, get up, dress, go and stand in the lobby of a particular hotel. You know, if you are not used to hearing God, you will not go. Like Brother Steve said this morning, if you are not used to hearing God in evangelism, go and minister to that sister. You have been ignoring. It's not God. When he started to make money, that's how you will not hear also. He said, go and stand in the lobby of that hotel. He waited 10 minutes, 15. If you are not patient, 15 minutes. What's going on? And then suddenly he saw a white man coming out of the hotel, being harassed by the hotel staff. What happened? He said he had bank transaction issues, and the money I was meant to pay wasn't able to remit it. And he told them that he would collect the account and he's going to remit and everything. Then Spirit of God said, go and walk up to the man and tell the staff that you are his lawyer. I don't know this man. He said, go and meet and say you're his lawyer. So he went there. Hello, hello, excuse me, I'm his lawyer. Imagine was walking around going, you are my lawyer. Yeah, thinking like, I didn't know I have lawyer yet. And he spoke. And when those people heard lawyer, they became a bit more civilized. You know, they're civil and everything. So I said, no, his own. So he paid the fees from his own account. And the man said, here's my card. Thank you so much for rescuing me, saving me for this embarrassment. He said that was the first time in his life he was going to receive a first-class ticket to the U.S. And the money the man used to say thank you was 10 times what he paid. Because you heard God say, go and stand. When you process God's word, you have found great spoil in all areas. You have found great spoil. Longevity is there. Increase is there. Favor is there. That same word. There are life unto those that find it. And hell to what? All their flesh. It's life. But the process is when you hear, you understand. When you understand, something happens on the inside. What happens on the inside now begins to show on the outside because out of it comes the issues or the governing forces of life. So whatever God has said, it remains spoken, will not be activated until it connects with the soil of the heart of the right man. The right man is a man who pays attention to the word, who gives heed to the word, and that word will now produce the harvest that is what? Promised. Now, that's why I said God is an equal opportunity. God means that God does not give more to some than some others. No, he doesn't. Your heart, what you do with the word, the attention you pay to the word is what really matters. It's what really matters. I think for a period of 3 weeks, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. Dr. Kefetola, some years back. He canceled every meeting he had. The only person that knew about it was the doctor and his wife. Why did he not tell everybody? Those are the stakeholders. when you're having something that's serious, it's the major stakeholders. You know, some people make a mistake. You write a letter to this church, to that mountain, to that mountain, to that mountain. And the people you're writing a letter to may not believe that you'll be well. They just say that, hey, that's so-and-so was all the other time, and she's dead now. That's so-and-so. So you want them to believe with you, but you may have more people who are thinking that, wow, such a lovely sister. That's what you have been to the past tense. you know you have finished. They're talking about you in the past tense when you are still alive. Such a lovely sister. What kind of thing is this? Huh? This is how this sister will die. The last person wants to pray for you. What kind of prayer will you pray? When the person is already speaking, even the ones already telling that the person doesn't believe at all, they began a process. He and his wife. He said, Spirit of God said, go and take the messages you have preached and be listening. And add one or two messages. He said, he put it on repeat 24 hours. He didn't rush. There was no worry. He don't look at time. Just play. Play, play. What is he doing? He's feeding the heart. He's feeding the heart. He's feeding the heart. When you first start speaking, listen carefully, your confessions may come out with hesitation. Maybe be slow. You know why? Persuasion hasn't taken place yet. When persuasion takes place, the confession will be fluid and unconscious. That is, you're no longer deliberately confessing. It's just coming out of you. It's just coming out of you. Certain words just come out of you unconscious because your heart has been programmed that way now. Once that takes place, just know that you're on the eve of manifestation. After 3 weeks, he went back to the doctor. They checked him. No trace was found. The same God, overall, is rich unto all that call upon him. How would they call upon him of whom they've not heard? Of whom they've not believed? How would they believe of him if they not heard? How would they hear without what? A preacher. But the same God overall is what? Rich unto all that call. So, I put it this way. Your calling has a lot to do with what you believe. Your believing has a lot to do with what you have had. So, whatever you heard about God initially will affect the way you call. To call means to ask, to receive. That means the what you are asking and how you are asking is a function of what did you hear to start with. That's the question. What did you hear? To start with. That's the issue. The way you call is different. The way we call is different. So there are things you walk in, there are things I walk in. It's a function of what do I understand? What has my heart accepted and acknowledged of the good things that belong to us in Christ Jesus? What have you accepted? And God is a respecter of persons. That means he doesn't do more for one than the other. You have to get your that kind of thinking that God loves some people. No. That you believe the gospel is true that God has loved you. You have been accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. You've been accepted in the beloved. God sees you as equal. The blood of Christ has given you equality. He has brought many sons into glory. Not some, many sons into glory. We're all in that glory. We're all in that acceptance. We're all in that love. And in every single one is programmed of God. That's God's plan that you prosper and be in health. That means you are meant to have safe passage. Things are meant to work for you. But it says, because there are forces that are contending for your heart, you have to be deliberate about what you program your heart with. Because if you don't program your heart, you will be programmed. So it's something you have to do deliberately. You'll be programmed. You will be. Till day now, it's exciting. The suspense can be exciting in that sense. But I stopped watching horror movies. Because, okay, I have to be careful about what I say now. There's enough horror going on already in the world. You now want to go and put your eyes on horror for movies. Till today, listen, get till today. People are afraid to pass through the graveyard at night because of Nollywood. Not because there's anything there. You see where you are looking. If the graveyard is a shortcut to your house, you still don't go there. You know why? You've been programmed to believe meetings are going on there. That's the problem. You can pass through and nothing will happen. But you say, I will not take the chance. You say, do you get graveyard? Who is in the graveyard? Bodies or departed spirits? That's all that is there. If you're crying, hey. The fear is where you are. Wait. Because you are a Nigerian. You are an African in particular. So you have associated something with graveyard. It's not because it's because of what you have had. You have seen, you have watched movies that told you, what they do over there? That's where the problem is. At least in the West, to a degree, they have escaped some of those things because they were not programmed in that superstitious manner. But there's this superstition about graveyard. What are you doing there? If you shortcut, then I'll go. I'm taking a long way. I will not be tired. Because you told yourself like, something, but it's the heart. It's the heart. And once your heart is programmed that way, you've already discovered an area of weakness that you need to do something about. Hallelujah. Make up your mind. Listen carefully. Whatever makes you afraid naturally, make up your mind to overcome it. Whether it is snakes or rats. Some things are not natural. I'm not telling you. I know somebody that kills snakes and jumps at cockroaches. Does that make any sense to you? You know it doesn't make any sense. Somebody is killing snakes. When is it coming? It's, hey, a man, no. You act like a girl. When is this cockroach? But can kill snake. The pathway in his brain. Something is wrong. Because naturally, what would you think? Somebody should be afraid of what? Snakes. He will kill snake and run at cockroach. Why are you running away from cockroach? There's an image in your mind that makes you afraid of. There's is an image that needs to be. You need to get rid of it. I did an experiment years ago. I don't like fear. As a person, I don't like fear. So, and there are some dogs. If you see them, just seeing them. Just see them. You have seen a Rottweiler before. Those huge ones. And bulldogs. I saw a cross between two of them. This was years ago when I was working in Circular World. And my friend was living in a particular compound and neighbor had three huge ones. And when you just see them, whatever conversation you want to have with your friend, you have it at the gate. You feel led not to go in. So, I didn't know at that time. I was just using God's word. I didn't know that. Later, I discovered that those dogs are very sensitive to body language. And they said there's a pheromone human beings release when they're afraid. And dogs can sense it. So, I just told myself, I won't be afraid of these dogs. I knocked, and nobody came. So, I had to enter. The lion's den. Like Daniel. So, I entered. They came, like you normally come in. They were sniffing. You know when they're very close and they're steaming, you're like, they'll bite. I said, no, I'm not going to be afraid of the beast of the field. I will not be afraid. And I walked straight to, they followed me. After they got to the end, they went back. The same things I was afraid of before. And I walked to the door, knocked, and entered. The part of me, but at least I won. That day I won. I'm very like those who didn't try at all. That day I won. Because I grew up raising dogs. So I was like, I grew up raising dogs. I understand the psychology. I won't be afraid of this one. Why? There's something in the heart. Your heart plays a major role in the experiences you're going to have. So be diligent in programming your heart deliberately to experience God's best. We still have about 3 months before the year runs out. Hallelujah. You can still have a bumper year. You can still have glorious experiences. This year can still be better than the last in every sense of the word. It's not time to give up. It's time to give in and trust God that new outcomes, new jobs, new opportunities, new contracts, they are still waiting to be discovered. As God's word plows your heart, I see door of favor opening to you. I see increase coming your way. I see men assisting you. And I see opportunities coming your way that you didn't think about before. Lift your hands this morning and let's give him thanks. Did you get something this morning? Give him thanks and let's bless his name. He's faithful. We praise you. We exalt you. We are grateful, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for the supply of your spirit. The word grows in our hearts. It brings forth fruit. Our heart is good ground. Thank you for multiplication in the season that we're in and increase. We come back with hands full of a glorious harvest. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' precious name.